What's going on, guys? We are back. It's your girl, Shatoria, with the I Am Shatoria brand here on our podcast. We're going to take a little step back a little bit here, and we're going to talk about something that's really important today. We're talking about, are you ready? Are you ready? So what I mean by are you ready is, are you ready when that time comes up and unfortunately, your time, your dash has ended. And so I have a special guest coming on today where we're going to talk about just that. We're going to talk about, are you ready? Is your family ready? Have you had these tough conversations? I think this conversation is very important today because as I've read my book again and looked at some things, one thing I would say was my mother was not so much, but because of my mother's death, my grandmother became very ready. Okay. So it was one of those things of, ooh. And so I'm excited about this conversation because it's needed. Because you see a lot of GoFundMe accounts. You see a whole lot of things because people are like, I don't know what to do. And some people literally do GoFundMes just to make sure there's extra money, which is great. But are you ready for your family to say their goodbyes and, you know, go on without you? Are you ready? All right. That is the conversation for today. I'll be back in 30 seconds as we talk about the healing process. All right, so I am excited as we are still in my book, Authentic Transparency. And for all those that are listening, I'm waving. How you doing? And if all those that see me, you see I'm waving at you. All right, so we are talking about the healing process. So here's the reason why the healing process goes along with what I am talking about with my guest today. That is important because the healing process needs to take place in order for you to be ready when that time comes. If the healing process takes place, and what I mean by the healing process, I am talking about the healing of forgiveness, the healing of letting go, the healing of, you know what, I ain't got time for this. When you do that, then you are preparing yourself to be in a good space. The reason why a lot of people do not want to talk about the process, because we're not ready to forgive. We're not ready to let go. We're not ready to not deal with the toxic of it. We are not ready to deal with the trauma that came with it. We're not ready to just be free. I cannot stress it enough. We are not ready to be free. And let me tell you something, that's huge. That is a huge thing when we are not ready to just let God do him. And hence the reason why we find ourselves in spaces and with people that we're really not ready to just deal with. We're like, nah, I'm cool. I'm straight. I don't need to deal with him or her. We quite okay, but you're not quite okay. You're broken. You're not healed. You're miserable. And you're making everybody else miserable because you're miserable. So one of the biggest things I had to come to terms with was healing was important. I said this the other night, as if you're on my Facebook, and if you're on my YouTube, you'll see it on my YouTube. I did a 40-minute, wasn't supposed to be that long, but I did a 40-minute, hey, like this is what it is. And so that was the thing that I really had to come to terms with was my trauma needed to be healed, y'all. Like, I needed healing. Like, I could not move on. I had a lot of hurt and pain. And honestly, when I go back to the main question, what is your first hurt? A lot of people try to avoid that question. We don't want to talk about it. We ain't going to talk about that. We ain't going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about my first hurt because it ain't going to do nothing but put me in a space. But that means you're not healed. Because when you have to deal with that, when you got that first hurt grow roots that starts to embed in the dirt, in the soil. And a lot of people is watering. See, what we don't understand is when we're watering certain things, not all water is good water. Not all words are good words. So we're allowing people to water the negativity, the hurt, the pain. Why is this important when it comes down to being prepared? Because you never know when your time is up. One of the things I refuse to do is leave this earth mad, upset with unforgiveness. I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it. You heard what I say. I ain't going to do it. I refuse. You would not take my joy. You would not take the life I have. You know, I would not. I'm going to leave this earth and be empty from all the gifts and promises God had already ordained. One of the things my children would not do is pick up the stick to do any calling that I had, because I plan to do them all before I leave this earth. They would not be doing double the work because they got their calling too. So they shouldn't be doing mine and theirs because I didn't do what I needed to do because I walked around unhealed. That's the difference. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about being unhealed, what that looks like, why it looks like it does. A lot of you are not ready. You choose not to be ready. You choose to just be like, no, I am not forgiving my mother. She can take several seats. And I'd be like, why? Because she caused this pain. You wouldn't understand. You'd be surprised. The pain. I know that first thing, girl. I know that pain. I know that pain to have absentee parents. Parents was absentee. They wasn't there. My dad and my mom, they wasn't there. I am that child that was raised by grandparents. Okay. And that is something I refuse. Now, my daughter loves her jizz on her poppy. Look here. She loves her grandma Michelle. And one of the things I would say is my daughter has been blessed to have people in her life that has taken on roles. And so I'm very big about that. But it's not their job to raise her. It is me and her father's. We did that. So it's not nobody else's responsibility. My grandparents raised me because the two who's supposed to be responsible wasn't. So I allowed that hurt to carry on living with my grandparents. Growing up, I hated life. I've been there, done that. But baby, you looking at somebody who is absolutely healed. And I'm talking about y'all, I'm healed. Like, I don't need to get mad about you. Like, you good? Oh, okay. All right. Okay, cool. But I believe in my peace. So one of the biggest things is people feel like when you forgive, you still got to like deal with the residue. Here's the thing. I don't deal with residue. And what I mean by that is I love my parents. I honor them. The Bible says to honor your parents. I honor them, hands down. However, I don't deal with the negativity. So one of the things is, after I forgave my mom, our relationship started to grow. However, she knew I needed peace and she respected that. And so to this day, it's no different. Not even with my dad, like, forgive him, but I like my peace. I'm really okay. I deal when God tells me to deal because I know my peaceness is very important. Because when you got peace, you look at situations and go, okay, I'm gonna pray. I got you. I got prayer life, got you going. Ooh, yes. But my peace is number one. If I feel people start to get a little irate, I'd be like, I deal with people accordingly. I promise you, some people I don't even talk on the phone with. I don't even talk on the phone with them. I just text because I know better. I know what or how you operate. So I got to be mindful of what I'm about to walk into. Okay. So that is the biggest thing, is the healing process. And so right now I'm working on a series called Trauma Healing, and it is real. It's about, you know, being ready. And so I'm excited about this conversation today as we're still talking about the book, but this is kind of part of the book, but this is Well, I'm not going on any particular chapter in the book today because, like I said, having this special guest, it's going to be dope because we get to have this conversation about are you ready and what have you done? And so that conversation will entail wills, funeral arrangements, insurance. We are in the process right now. I am redoing my life insurance for my family. Because my life has completely changed. I have a grandson now. My son is a whole adult. Janae is not in with a business. I have businesses. We have property. And I can't just think about me. I have to think about, okay, God, what if I go before my husband do? What does that look like? What if he goes before I do? What does that look like? And here's the thing. This may not roll over well with some people. But God has prepared me spiritually for these things. Burying my mother. Well, burying my grandfather first. Because when my uncle passed, I wasn't quite there. I was like, what we got going? But then I buried my mother, my grandfather in 2003. And that took a toll on me mentally. And I mean mentally. This week will be 21 years. 21 years this week when I was trying to take my life. This week it'd be 21 years. And I am grateful for the praying people. I'm grateful for those who listen to God and listen to the Spirit and knew how to heal me up spiritually because I had it planned out. And the hardest thing is knowing that I had only been in the military 7 months. Wait, not even seven. Hold on. Y'all, I'm counting. Don't judge me. October, November, December, January, February, March. 5 months. I only been in the military 5 months. And when I think about it now, you know, I came in with issues. And so now at the age of 41, I was 20 at that time. So the age of 41, the healing has been crazy. It's been tough, but now I'm so prepared. I am mentally and spiritually prepared for these type of things now. That again, they may roll over with some people, but I'm spiritually and mentally prepared. It's one of those things I got to sit back and go, okay, God. The question I ask is, what's the purpose? Because in every person, there's a purpose. In it and all things. And that's the hard part. That's the hurtful part. I'm not about to sit here and pretend because when my mother passed, I was hurt. I was mad. I was angry. When my grandmother passed, the gears changed because it was like, okay, what's your purpose, Jesus? What you doing? What we got going on here? But I was more prepared. I was more like, I see you. Okay. This is what we're doing. I got you. Queens. I've become more prepared to when death has stepped in front of me. If it was family, friends, associates, anything. I've come more prepared to go, okay, God, what's your plans? It's not saying that I ain't shed no tears. It's not saying that I don't have moments. It's not saying that I don't feel a little broken, just a tiny bit. But because my faith and my healing has grown, my dealings with the things that is part of our life shifts. These things are part of the... It is part of where I'm sitting at this point. So when we sit and think about, are we ready? it comes with a healing process. You really got to ask yourself, are you ready? Because if you're not ready, then you can't talk about what your funeral is going to be like. You can't talk about what the will, who gets what, who does what, because you're not healed. You're not ready mentally, spiritually, or physically. All right. So it's something you really got to tap into. All right. So that is what we're talking about today. And so I'm really, really excited as we are going to prepare for our special guest that we have, because y'all, we have to talk about this as a community, because I'm telling you, you see a lot of GoFundMes and a lot of people who don't honor people for what they desire. I laugh because a friend of mine, she just went to a service and they wore tennis shoes because that is what the individual loved. So they honored her right. Like, this is what she had. So the thing about it is, you got to know what you want, when you want, how you want, because if not, it's going to be a whole mess. And trust me, I've seen some messy surfaces. It's all over the place. Some been some hours, you know. So you got to know. So we're going to talk about that today. All right. I want you guys to kick back with me here in a minute, because I will have our special guest on. I'm going to come back and introduce her. All right. See you guys in 30 seconds. All right, guys. So I'm really excited about today, as I said before, because we have to talk about some things that I'm going to be honest, minorities do not want to talk about at all. As a culture, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it because it becomes reality. And so as reality is hitting, I will say this, COVID came a huge reality when it came down to deaths, and people were not prepared. They didn't know what to do, what the person wanted. So they just did a whole lot of stuff. I won't even lie. A lot of families was in arguments about cremation and burial and those things. Like, people really had issues, like falling out. And people are in court today behind these things. So one of the things I really want us to talk about today is, like I said before, are you ready? Because it's real life. It will happen. This is part of what we're dealing with. So I'm really, really excited about having our special guest. Her name is, I had to make sure I got this right, y'all. You know us military people, we write it down how we hear it. But I want to introduce you guys to Dr. Rumbi Mafuka, as she is coming to talk with us today about, are we ready? How you doing?
Hi. I'm so happy to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Super excited about this. First of all, this conversation, what it means, mm-hmm. and how it really works. Because I've seen some ugly stuff when it comes down to when people leave this earth and what it does to families, especially us as a culture. Mm-hmm. As a culture, we ain't ready.
We're not ready. We don't talk about it. We don't like to think about it. There's a lot of trauma and drama that is created when someone leaves without a plan or leaves without, you know, sharing their wishes. And it's not just about money. You know, people get caught up in, you know, well, I don't have enough money, or what am I going to pass on? When you said that we lose so much when someone leaves without a plan, we lose cultural wealth. We lose stories. We lose recipes. We lose family histories, right? Suddenly you show up at the funeral and you're like, I didn't know they were related to me, or who's that over there, right? Because no one shared. No one took the time, right, to share that kind of information. So I like to tell, it's not just about money. Yes, money is important. You need to get that right. But we have so much more to talk about and like so much more to offer when we leave this earth. So I want people to have it all together when it's time.
No, I appreciate that, because something that you said that we lose culturally. And it's funny because my grandmother will have conversations with us. As I said earlier in my podcast, my grandparents raised me. Mm-hmm. And so my grandmother used to be, oh, you know, this is where I come from. This is what happened. And you'd be like, for real? Mm-hmm. But then we start seeing pictures. I'm like, wait. And like you, she let, now my grandma was, she was bougie, black bougie in the South, But she left behind memories. Mm-hmm. And so her death gave me a requirement to go do my own DNA.
Hmm.
Listening to, you know, because let's just be honest, us as minorities, Black people, you hear a lot of people talking about, oh, I'm straight Black. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Yeah.
But one of the things my grandmother, she still don't. She go, I'm not straight Black. I got, you know, she's like, hey, my dad was from, he was white.
Hmm.
My mom, you know, her mom was Black. And I was like, oh, okay.
Hmm.
And then I had questions because my first cousin, he came out, he got red hair.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle
had we call that throwback. I grew up in the South too.
Yeah. It's like red hair. Where does this come from? So I did my DNA and I realized, oh, we got Irish.
Hmm.
Okay. We got European. So my great grandfather was European, Irish. My great grandmother was Sub-Saharan, Cherokee Indian.
Hmm.
And here come my grandmother, this light skinned Black woman with this mixture of stuff.
Yeah.
And so doing my DNA allowed me to realize culturally who I am. Because I can find out I got a little Asian, hence my eyes.
Yeah.
And I understand the eye situation. But it allowed me to tap in and go, okay, this is what we got. And like you said, the recipes and the property and the lifelong stories that tends to get swept through when the older generation is now passing away.
Yeah.
First of all, tell us about what it takes to actually just start this conversation.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm Willing is all about. It's about starting the conversation. You know, so much of us, I think, get stuck when we think about legacy planning because we think we need to skip right to a lawyer, go from zero to a lawyer, right? And I like to tell people, you don't have to start there. Start exactly where you are. So there's a three-step process to the work that I do, and it starts with a conversation. It starts with just you and me talking about it, you and your husband talking about it with your best friend, talking about it with your grandmother, talking about it with your kids and saying, you know, have you all thought about this? You know, what do you think you would do when I was gone? Or how do you think you might want to be remembered and celebrated? Right. I don't use the word death a lot, at least not initially, because that's scary to people. But I talk about life and love and celebration and, you know, how do you want to be remembered? And that gets people thinking, like you were saying, oh, I went to this memorial service. That was amazing. That's the kind of service that I want, right? Or I went to this service that, ooh, there was a lot of fighting going on. Like, I wonder what happened. That's not what I want, right? Sometimes what you don't want is a conversation starter. So I get people just engaged with it, just talking about it, getting a little more comfortable with the subject. And then we move on to kind of more complex or more complicated things, but it absolutely starts with the conversation.
No, I definitely appreciate how you said that because that is, and like I said earlier today, that is what people are afraid to do. They don't want to talk about it. And because it comes reality. And the biggest thing I've had to learn is death is reality. We're not here forever, no matter how much we want to. We're not here forever. And so one of the biggest things is I've been to enough funerals, especially being military, to know, I don't want that. I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know what? We celebrating. I take all this out. Like, I have seen people say, put my service over here.
Mm-hmm.
Made sure I got this. Made sure I have this. These people cannot speak. Like, it makes a difference. It's like you said, people will fight. People will argue. People will, that's not what she wanted. No, don't. One of the things that we did for our moms, for now, I said earlier, my mother's death got my grandmother's ready, got herself ready.
Mm.
My mother passed, she wasn't ready. My mom died of lung cancer within an 8-week span. Wow. So we weren't ready. So we found a small little chapel in Atlanta and we had her service. I think my mom's funeral itself cost maybe $2,000.
That's a deal. Yeah.
Cremation.
Mm-hmm.
She's the reason why I started to go, cremation ain't so bad.
Yeah.
But it was the fact of it, all the questions came up. Okay. So are we doing a family car? And I was like, no, we're not. Y'all better meet us at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Meet us here at 1. This is what we're doing. So it was one of those things. My mother was not ready, but because we knew her, okay, we know she loves purple. Let's do a purple arm, you know, that thing. So when my grandmother passed, I never forget, she called me 2 weeks before and was like, okay, this is what I want. And at that time, I would not lie. I was like, I'm gonna talk about this with you. And she was like, you have to be ready. And I was like,
That is such a beautiful example, because again, it doesn't have to be complicated in the way we think. I bet when your grandmother called you, you were like, I'm not ready, but let me write this down.
And it, right? I won't lie, it was. I took my phone, I started finding pictures. Because she had battled lung cancer since 2003. And so this is 2017. This is 3 years after my mother's death. And so it was one of those, okay, what you want, Miss Perkins? Well, what are we doing? She said, I want you to do my programs, because I was an event planner at the time. So she knew me. She knew I'm coming in into event planning mode. I'm a mourn in a minute, but let me make sure my mama is good. And so I had her funeral down to a T. Down to a T. She knew who she wanted to do the service. That was one. She was very clear. You will be in uniform. Yes, ma'am. Say less. So me and my cousin both, we were in uniform. She was very clear. Like I said, who she wanted. She knew the urn she wanted. She knew the funeral home she wanted. She knew who was going to do what. And I said, and she goes, this is the rules you follow. Yes, ma'am.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's all that people want. The people that are left behind, they just want to know what you want. Yes. People don't want to argue. They're arguing from a place of grief and fear and uncertainty. They're not arguing to be petty most of the time. They're arguing because they have questions and they don't have answers. Right, because the person is gone. So you may not have agreed with every single thing that your grandmother wanted on that list, but you knew that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
Right. And then that gives you time to celebrate, to remember, right? To grieve, to mourn. But if you're busy dealing with the petty stuff and arguing with cousin so-and-so about this, who has time to grieve in that, right? Who has time to celebrate in that kind of chaos? Everyone, you know, loses out on that. So I love that story, because sometimes just writing it down is all you need. Now, I would love everyone to have a will and everyone to have a trust, right? And everyone to have everything buttoned up, but not everybody is going to get there. And that's okay. But just having some of these pieces in place, and that's why I break it down into smaller pieces, will leave your family in such a better position than if you didn't have anything at all. I mean, you know firsthand, if you hadn't had that conversation with your grandmother, if you'd said, no, I'm not ready, we'll talk about it in 2 weeks, you know what the other side would have been without knowing what you wanted.
Look here. I always tell people my mother's funeral prepared me for my grandmother's.
Yeah. And a lot of people need that trigger. You know, it's unfortunate that sometimes it is the death of someone that's a trigger, right? To have that plan, but that's life and that's okay. You know, if we're not learning from our experiences, right, then what are we really doing here? So for some people, it's a death that says, oh my gosh, I don't want this, right? Or I want to do better, or I need to talk to my mother, right? Or talk to my grandmother because my mother passed away. But sometimes for people, it's a birth, right? It's having a new baby, being a new parent, right? And you're like, oh gosh, do I have my stuff in order? Like, what if something happens to me? Sometimes it's a new job. Sometimes it's income, right? We all have these. Sometimes it's going, for me, it was going overseas for several weeks. And I was like, what if something happens to me when I'm in Angola? I might need to, right? I might need to get it straight. So we all have different reasons, right, for thinking about it, but it's turning that thought into an action and saying, okay, I'm ready to do something. Even if it's a little something, you know, I'm ready to do a little something and work my way up, you know, to a legacy plan.
What is, I know one of the things that, so people don't think of the minor stuff. Like, for instance, my phone has my husband as my emergency contact. My son is my emergency. So it literally says ICE by his name.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, what is ICE? And I'm like, place of emergency. And it was like, oh, and my phone has it in there. This is who you call in case of an emergency. No if and questions, but this is who it is. But what with your company, what is the first stance that you do with people when they, if I was to come to you and be like, I need to make some plans, what is the first thing that you can do?
So after we start the conversation, we get comfortable, we get kind of warmed up. Who are you going to talk to about this, right? Is it your husband, your kids, your spouse, your partner, right? Then the next thing we do is redefine your wealth. So I don't just talk about making a list of wealth. Because like I said, people get stuck in, oh, my money, my budget, I don't have this, I don't have that. I say, okay, let's put finances to the side for a minute, right? Let's talk about all of the wealth that you have, your recipes, your family, your stories, you know, maybe your genealogy, right? Who do you want to hold that for you? Or who do you want to share that with? Now, digital, let's call it digital wealth, right? Or digital assets has become really complicated. Like, who's going to shut down your Gmail account, right? Who, you know, what's going to happen with your Facebook account? But we just make a list of all of these things.
I'm over here making lists now because I ain't right? Emails, business. You know, I think about business, but they eat just a regular email.
Just a regular email. And I will say that Gmail actually has a process to name your emergency contacts. So they remind me every year, they say, you've named these two people. If your account is inactive for 3 months, we're going to contact this person first, and then they're going to get to decide. If they're unavailable, we'll contact this person, and they'll get to decide what to do with your account. If we don't hear from anyone, maybe over 6 months or something, we shut down the account. So some platforms, I think Facebook has something similar. Some platforms have this built in, but that's why we create a list. Right. So you're not feeling overwhelmed with all these things you have to do. Right. We create a list of your digital life, you know, of your personal life. You know, if you're a sneakerhead and you've got a collection that, you know, you don't want to go to Goodwill, we put that right on the list. And then we add your financial accounts. I like to remind people, I don't need to know what's in your account. That's not my business. But what is important is that your family knows where you banked. And your family knows where you have a life insurance policy, right? There's nothing worse than someone, and this was experienced in my family, someone passing away and you don't know if they had a life insurance policy. They may have been paying that premium for 15 years, but life insurance isn't calling your house every day to say, are you still alive? Do we need to cash out on the policy, right? So if nobody knows where it is, no one's going to receive it.
That, and that's the part, because I think I need people to understand, and a really good friend of mine that I work with, she is a insurance person, and she broke some things down. I was like, wait, she was telling the difference between the life and the term, and she was like, because do you have these two accounts, and then if you die, and then somebody called, and they'd be like, okay, give me that account, not realizing you still owe money in that account, so by the time you're done, you only get like $6, and I was like, wait, hold on, what? But one thing it did teach me is, try to put something away because it's not like you about to get that money off top. Mm-hmm. You ain't about to get that check real quick, fast and hurry, because you don't get a death certificate that fast and hurry.
Right, exactly.
So you have to be prepared. One of the things me and my husband did talk about just yesterday, I said, one of the things I don't want is I do not want my husband in probate court. Mm-hmm. We don't think about that. We think, oh, we married, so we good. Like, not realizing that for us, the state of Texas don't know the status of our marriage. We could be separated. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those, So, you know, I told my husband, like, hey, we got to redo our will because, like you said, the birth of my daughter changed the game up for me. And it was like, wait, hold on. I got my son. Now we got a daughter. We got to change that up. And then now that our son is grown, he's a dad. So me and my husband going, okay, now we got a grandson. What we trying to leave, what we trying to showcase, we're thinking about if we both pass at the same time.
Yeah.
We're thinking about if I go before him, babe, are you ready? If he goes before me, am I ready? And so those are the things that we have had conversations, and we're at the point of redoing our insurance policy that my grandson, really updating the will because I have a 9-year-old daughter. So it's, my son is grown. So now it's okay. Now, who you going to for real? Like, if something happens to me and your dad,
exactly,
making you. So we know we got that already in place. Hey, her godparents are. We got you. Godparents, got her. But people don't talk about that, and it becomes a mess. Yeah.
And I love that point you make about, you know, the state of Texas doesn't know what we want. That is so true. I think there's this misconception that, well, whatever I said, that's what's going to happen. Look, if you don't have a plan, your state has a plan for you. And right? And most of us don't care for the state's plan, right? In most things, but that's the way it goes. And the state's plan is very clear. It's not that they guess. They have a plan that says, you know, if you have children, maybe they're the next of kin, or maybe your spouse is the next of kin. But you're right. It goes to probate court, and you know, avoiding probate court is a more complicated thing, but having a will is the first step to making probate court a lot less painful, because then you get to go to the state and say, here's my will, here's my plan. And all the state has to do is say, yeah, that plan makes sense. She wasn't, you know, conned into writing this plan. Nobody tricked her into writing this plan. You know, we think this is right. And then they approve it, right? And then your executor gets to, you know, make that plan happen for you. There was something I was going to add about if you don't have the plan, the state has a plan. I mean, like I said in the beginning, making a will is a milestone on the journey, right? Everyone should be doing that. But I love how you mentioned the life insurance policy and who gets what, because the third thing in my program is naming your beneficiaries. So yeah. After we've made that list of wealth, your bank accounts, your life insurance policies, you know, whatever you have digitally, your Facebook accounts, your email accounts, then we go back and we talk about who do you want to receive your gifts. And I talk about them as gifts, mm-hmm. right? Because your financial accounts, most of them, you can name your beneficiary, and that's transferable on death. In other words, that avoids probate. So, you know, we talked about it takes time to get a death certificate and get your life insurance policies, right? And all of that. You do need the death certificate, but having access to someone's bank account, if you're the beneficiary, is right away. You don't have to go to probate for that. So that $2,000 in expenses, right, that you had for your mother, if you had access to her bank accounts as her beneficiaries, right, you would be able to cover that and avoid a GoFundMe funeral. So, you know, when we see these GoFundMe funerals or these Cash App funerals, I know a lot of us are thinking like, but I know they have the money. I know they have something to contribute. Well, a lot of times that money is frozen because people didn't name their beneficiaries. They didn't. And you can do that online right now. You can go into your bank account, into your retirement accounts, your 401ks, and name your beneficiaries today. And look, it's not permanent. You can change your mind. If you have a falling out with someone, you can go in and say they're not getting access to anything, right? But you have to name someone for them to get access to it when you're gone. If not, it's frozen. And you have to wait for court, and then the court will decide who gets
it. Crazy. My sister works for a company where they deal with payouts of money. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about when I'm on the phone with her and she's working, and she worked on these little cases, it's like years. And I was like, wait, when that person died, she was like, girl, 2019, this is 2024. No, they just not getting their money. Mm-hmm. Wait, what? Like you got to show birth certificate. You got to show that's your child. You got to show this. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She said, people literally do not have their affairs in order. And this is what you get. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, no.
We can avoid. Yeah, we can avoid that. You know, we can't keep talking about building generational wealth if we have no way to pass it on.
And I think we misconstrue generational wealth as always money anyway. Because one of the biggest things that I've been thinking about that I spoke about earlier is my business. So I already in my head knowing, okay, I have my own business, which I am Tratoria, the brand itself. Okay, what are we going to do with that? I don't want to demolish my daughter. She has her own business as well. Let her roll on that. But then we have a nonprofit that we started. And I've already started asking questions on that. I was like, okay, so I need to make sure if anything happened to me before she is 18 and the lady who's been helping me is like, nope, make her a member. Nobody can vote her out.
Yeah.
She's one of the founders and a member. So they can't touch her. She cannot be. And then I already said, well, she's going to have an advisor until she's 18. Mm-hmm. And she's good in all her businesses. And so that is my thought process. Like, what can I make sure that, you know, she's good. Same with my grandson. Like, okay, I want to make sure he's straight. So he know if anything, hey, grandparents got you. Again, it's not always about money. We have a house. We already said, all right, we want to leave the kids the house. It's y'all. Y'all can rock with it. Don't sell it, you know, type of situation. And so those are the things that we do think about. And I don't want my biggest goal is I don't want my family in court. Mm-hmm. I don't want them in court. I want them to be able to live life after me fully.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
That's huge. And I love that that's a goal, because it's clear. There's clear things you can do, you know, to achieve that goal. You are already, you know, down your legacy planning journey, and you've had a lot of milestones, you know, along the way. But 70% of us don't do anything.
We can tell by what we see.
Anything. Exactly. We can tell. When I say anything, I'm including not even having the conversation. I'm including like step zero. We don't even have the conversation to say, baby, this is what I want when I'm gone. We don't do it.
Let's be honest. One of the things I told my husband, I said, as children, when you hear your parents or whoever's raising you, whoever you're close to, they're like, I never leave you. And in your head, you're like,
as a child, yeah, you believe that.
And it's like, and I told my husband, I said, that's real life. You're not supposed to die. No, no. But in reality, that is reality. We're going to. And so one of the things I talked about earlier is the healing process. Mm-hmm. The reason why we are not in a space to talk, because we're not healed.
Yeah.
We're scared.
Yeah.
And if we talk about it, it's real. And it's not saying I'm dying tomorrow, but we have to have this discussion. And it's nope. And it's like, you are so afraid of being alone because you're not healed from whatever trauma you have, to where you're not willing to have a conversation that is going to put you in a better position later on, or even your kids in a better position later on.
Yeah.
And so as minorities, we got to do better.
Yeah.
I see so many GoFundMe accounts, and I'll read them, and sometimes I donate, but a lot of them is because they don't have money at all. They didn't have this conversation. Mm-hmm. People waiting 3 or 4 weeks to bury someone because they don't know what to do, what the person want. And it's one of those things of why are you afraid?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think the conversations that I have, you know, as a coach on this, it inevitably comes up, right, in starting the conversation. We talk about a loss that they've had, right, how that made them feel, or we talk about their fears of leaving their kids behind, right, and what, you know, what might happen in those circumstances. And that's why starting the conversation has to be number one. You have to start there. You know, I think one reason why so few of us do this is because the structure is designed for you to go to a lawyer and to write a will. And that structure is not, it's not culturally sensitive. It's not for us. It's not designed for us by us. Again, I'm not a lawyer, and I think everyone should have a will, and everyone should have a lawyer, right, review their will, but we all can't start there. Not everybody can wake up and put down $1,000, right, and have a lawyer write their will. We've got to start where we are in the ways that we're comfortable talking about it. And we got to own that fear. You know, I've talked to some people that are superstitious and say, oh, talking about death brings it on.
It is
not. Okay, let's talk about that then, right? Like, let's put it out there. Why is that true for you? And they may have a really personal story,
right,
about that. And that's fine. We can talk about that, and then we can get over it, or get through it, let's say, right, into what's real, into what you need to do today. Right. So I say, come at me with your fear, with your superstitions, with your voodoo dolls, with your uncertainty, with whatever it is, and we will talk through it.
You said, right? We will
get through it, and we will talk about what you need to do today. And like I said, if people just need to make a list and a journal, I had a woman that I met who's a death doula, and her mother was triggered, I think, by the death of her ex-husband, and it was a big mess because he didn't have a plan. And she said to her daughter, I'm not going to leave you that way. Remember those black composition notebooks we had in grade school, the hard ones? Her mother just wrote down day after day what she wanted. She put her passwords in there. You know, she put a list of the things around her house. You can take this to Goodwill. No, this is important to me, or this is sentimental. And so now her daughter has that as a keepsake. And she basically got to follow it page by page to say, okay, this is what mama wants. Right? It doesn't have to be complicated. She knew enough to then get that notarized and signed, right, as an official document. But a Black composition notebook, Aretha Franklin had 3 or 4 wills on pieces of paper. Now, it did take time for them to figure out, like, which was the legitimate will. But she was writing them in spiral-bound notebooks. This is what I want. This is what I don't want, et cetera, right? So we don't have to overcomplicate it. We just have to have the conversation. And like you did with your grandmother, start writing it down.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I'm thinking about now sentiments that, so when my grandmother passed, I have her veil from her wedding. I have, so she gave me this piece of, she gave me a piece of jewelry. I saw her that September before she passed that April. And so it's one of them old school rings. You know, them thick rings with the big diamonds. Grandmama, so I have that ring and I wear it around my neck with my mother's ashes. So I'm glad you said it because now I got to remember too. Because even down to my first set of wedding bands, my husband bought my new set, goes to my daughter. So I want things to be known. This goes to Janae.
Exactly.
My mother ashes goes to my daughter. Jewelry, this goes here. My grandmother's veil is not to be taken away, put it in a safe box, which I have one already, but I definitely get what you're saying in that aspect. And then as I look around my office, because I'm retired military, I have over 200 and something coins. A lot of them are very unique. The flag, the grease, and those things. So I'm very looking around going, man, this stuff really holds something to me. So let me make sure people understand.
Exactly. And so you're already at the point where you have a will, you know, and depending on how specific your will is, you might include those items in it. But from talking to lawyers, I know sometimes there's you outline like big specific things like the house, the car, right? And then you have a line that says all of my other effects, right, my executor will get to decide. So basically everything else in my house, right, the person administering my will get to decide. What I like to suggest to people is that you write letters, letters of love to the people in your life about those other things, right? So you can write a letter to your daughter saying, I'm leaving you this ring and these ashes for this reason, right? This was your grandmother, your great grandmother, right? You can write a letter to your husband. You can write a letter to your best friend. You can. So that's why, you know, the second piece is making that list, because then we get to talk about who do you want to get those gifts. And you can tell those people in advance, right? You can give them the letter in advance, say that, hey, if anything happens to me, my will has it covered. And I want you to know, right, why I'm leaving this to you.
Girl, you don't mess me up. Okay. we have a safe. So I think I'm going to do that because a friend of mine, she did a email.
Yeah.
And she would send emails to her daughter. To where once she turned, I think 18.
That's beautiful.
Read all these. So like she knew her mom's feelings in those moments.
Yeah.
And I had the crazy part. I have all my journals. I have my journal before my daughter, when I was in faith for her. So yeah, this is like really good ideas. I like this, writing letters to loved ones and like already having it and be like, hey, put it in a safe and be like, upon my death, open letters up.
And you can record videos, right? Something that there's an app that some acquaintances of mine have created called Artifacts, where you can take pictures of your items. You can record a video or you can write some text about why it's sentimental or why it's an heirloom or right where it came from or, you know, what happened when you got it, and you can share it. You know, we have so much tech available to us now to make this easier, maybe a little more emotional, you know, friendlier, that again, it doesn't have to be so rigid of like, you have to do it this way in this time. You can do it in a way that makes sense to you. And if you are taking photos of the things around your house and recording little videos, right, drop that in a shared folder or drop that in a folder, you know, that someone knows to access when the time comes. Record what I like to do with my family now is just record them gossiping about the family, right? Or record the stories. I was asking my mother about her family tree, like how far back she can go. And I'm writing it down, but I'm just recording it because now I have that for me, right? But I have that for the family as well. So there's so many ways that we can capture, you know, this cultural wealth in a way that we can pass on and also, you know, get to know the person before they're gone.
No, I absolutely think this is absolutely dope. One of the dopest, realest conversations I have been able to have with, you know, individuals about real life. So I really appreciate you on that. For all those that are watching, you see her contact information below. I think this is important. For those that are listening, you will see her contact information in the bio information, so description. So make sure you like reach out, contact, because here's the thing. We cannot be afraid of what we can't avoid. Mm-hmm. This is something we cannot avoid. So the question I have for something that we cannot avoid, are you willing to just put that fear to the side for a moment to look at what will happen if you don't? What will you leave behind if you don't? What are you going to do, especially if you got kids? And here's the thing. We cannot be in a mindset that, oh, I'm young, I'm good. No, no. We cannot be in a mindset, even as parents, that's the hardest part. Even as parents, we can't be in that mindset that we're going to go before our kids, even though that may be our desire. That's not reality. Reality is we have to be prepared for anything, regardless. Anything can happen. And that's the hurtful part. And so I am preparing myself for if I go before hubby, hubby go before me, or we go together. Like I need to prepare for all of that because I need to make sure our kids are good on all ways to where they are already going to think about my parents not here anymore. I don't want to add on more stress of crap. Now I got to deal with this, and this. And they didn't leave nothing in writing. And I got to fight folks because nothing was done correctly. Like, I don't want that. So I really appreciate my grandmother, despite how hard it was to have that conversation with me. And we had the conversation multiple times, even to where I knew what her program was going to look like. Like, I was like, she's like, you design it. You do it. I was like, okay, you like hydrangeas. We're going to do a little purple bluish hydrangeas. And that's literally what I did for her funeral. We did purple blue hydrangeas and stuff like that. It was really nice and pretty. Mm-hmm. We did what she had her urn picked out already. She cost us a little more because, again, she was like, I want that urn. This is what I want. She was like, I want some upscale programs. And I was like, oh my God. So she got like a book program. Like she's like, no, I want you to go all out. And so I'm thankful for friends in the funeral home business. Mm-hmm. Who I was like, she doesn't want to be buried. She wants to be cremated. They was like, she's smart. Okay. And so they, you know, they broke it down. They also did her programs for me. When she died, we was already in production. It was like, mm-hmm. All right, let's go. Because it was, like you said, it was already done.
I love that. And it's one thing to spend that little extra money knowing that's what they wanted, right? Yeah. You spend that with pride, with some confidence. It's totally different when you're spending more money than you have, not knowing what they wanted, because then you still have people saying, that's not what they wanted. Why'd you do it this way? They would have wanted it this. And you're looking at them like, are you contributing? Are you swiping your credit card to help us get this done? Right. And that's where the trauma and drama comes from, because nobody knows what the person wanted. So I love that for you. That's such a beautiful story of knowing exactly what she wanted. And then you just get to do it. Your heart gets to be light and you get to tell everybody this is what she wanted.
Not only that, just standing up there, being the speaker for her funeral, mm-hmm. Going through the motions. It was, nope, this is what we're doing. We got this videos, this, and this. So it was, you're right. Yeah, that felt good. Not having to worry about, I didn't overspend. I didn't underspend. Mm-hmm. We did her exactly what she wanted. The only extra was added into it. The funeral home from DC sent someone surprisingly to play the saxophone for my father as we walked in.
Wow.
So that was one of the dopest parts of it. And my grandma, she loves music. So yeah. it was just absolutely great, but she got what she wants. So I already know me, I'm extra. We party. We'll party. I need us to come in with our Converses on, and I need y'all to celebrate with a whole gospel concert. Like this is what we need. I don't want to cry. It's okay. But we're going to act a fool. That's what I want.
I love that.
So I definitely thank you for coming today. Like I said, you guys see her information out there. But if you can leave our guests with anything, what would it be?
I would say start the conversation. I can't say it enough. And, you know, we get coaches for career. We get coaches for life. We get coaches for health, right? We know that sometimes we need someone else to help us get started. And I'm trying to be that person for our community. My goal is to have 1 million Black families do this work, start their legacy plan. And I think sometimes we just need a little push. We just need a little motivation, right, to get it going. And we need someone to say, I'm scared. And for me to say, that's okay. It's okay to be scared. And then you do it anyway. So let's start the conversation. Let's start the conversation together. I'm here. I'm available. I have lots of resources on my website if you're more of a DIY kind of person. But start the conversation. Start it today.
Oh, I thank you so much.
Thank you.
And gracing us with your presence, girl. Yes. And so I want y'all to give her a hand clap. I thank her so much. Don't worry. I got to have her back because these are conversations that needs to be had. I got to have her back. All right. So guys, as we get ready to end, I am super excited. Today was really, really good. As we get ready to end, you know, I always tell you guys, like, we are in the middle of the healing process. Like, real talk, we're in the middle of the healing process. So I cannot say enough how ecstatic I am to just have you guys listen, be a part. And no, we transparent around here. That's what we do. With that being said, do not forget to get your book, Authentic Transparency, as we're about to hit our third year. I'm really excited as I talk about the healing process, and we are doing a series on trauma, and we're going through the motions right now. So make sure you are getting your book. Do stay tuned as we're still talking about the book, as we are still going through the motions and making sure everything's getting done. Do not forget, go to iamshatoria.com/iamevents as our retreat is coming up at the end, October 13th through the 15th here in San Antonio. It is our fourth year. Ew, I can't wait. And in this process, I'm actually thinking about, we need to bring this conversation to this process, because this season we're talking about new wilderness, and we're talking about accountability, healing, and grief, and what that looks like. And so these are things that needs to be talked about. So make sure you go and get your tickets, as we literally have, I think I have like 2 VIP seats left. That is it. We will start introducing our speakers, hosts, musicians, and just the I Am Shatoria brand team. Like, we're about to start doing introductions. So get your ticket. All right. As I always tell you guys, you know, I love you guys with all of my whole heart. We walk in love. We live fearlessly, and we have a whole lot of faith. I am praying that your day and your time is great. Know that I love you forever and a day. I will see you guys again.